Well, let's see, I'm here with Helen Wallace, and it's 2003. It's the 4th of August, I think it is, isn't it? I mean, September, 4th of September. And we've already talked about the Friendly Club and about how Glenn spanked one of us. We must have been fairly young. Like a 5 or 6 year old.
I'm sure you were.
To come in and do that. And I don't remember it, but I better ask a $2 bill. Look at that. I better ask Patty and Joe and see if they remember it. Because maybe they do and just have never told me or haven't been reminded of it. So we've got that story. But you were going to tell me something about the... whatever the stories you have.
Your voice.
Oh, let's just be sure this is working. Just a minute. Stop. Where's the stopping here? Okay, here we go.
You know about the boys' group, and they were having so much fun. Their sister thought we should have fun, too, and I'm sure Fanny Beeman was thinking we should have that kind of fun as much as anyone. So she was going to be our leader, and she checked in town to see if we could, if the Y would come out and sponsor girls from the YWCA in Bloyd. And I think she also checked for the Girl Scouts, and they had no facilities to form a rural group. I can't imagine the Girl Scouts now, but that's I remember it. But Chet Welch, who was the director of the Rock County YMCA and organized all the rural clubs, said, oh, he could do it. They had, and now the YMCA is a family organization, and they had the books for us to organize, and so we organized, and that's how the Girls got started.
So there was an actual girls group then?
There was
an official girls group.
Official girls group belonging to the YMCA, and I always thought it was strange to belong to the YMCA, but lots of people do now. In one of the stories, I remember that Fanny decided that when the boys went to Phantom, and there were enough of them, so they almost filled a cabin. But sometimes there'd be one or two boys that weren't from the turtle group, and Roy was their leader, so they had a big time.
I have pictures.
Okay. And one year, Fanny decided that the girls would go camp out across the lake and be kind of there, just have a good time when the boys were. There weren't very many of us that go, and I can't remember. I think Jean Higgins Johnson was one, because she reminded me of it once, and I was one, and there must have been one or two more, but there weren't very many of us that went. And we had our tent across here, and we were doing whatever we were doing, and at night came, and mosquitoes got awful. They were just unbearable, so Fanny said, and I sometimes think she had this in mind all the time. Fanny said, we'll go over and sleep with the boys. And we did. Chet Welch was director of this particular group, so he was a good friend, and so we let him know, and after dark, we went over, and our brothers doubled up enough, so we had the beds for the three or four of us, whatever they were, and we slept in the boys' camp, got up early in the morning, and left. And except for Chet and the kids in that tent, nobody knew it. And Fanny took the group for a long time. And when she didn't anymore, I took over.
I've got a picture of you being in charge from Fanny's scrapbook. I think
okay,
it's there.
Okay.
And
I've got a picture of the group. Fanny had it when we were up at Williams Bay at the cabin there. I think it's a Y cabin. It was a great place for a camp out.
Was that Camp Eleanor, the Girl Scout?
No.
The Girls Y camp up there that we used to go to?
No.
That was next door to college camp?
No. No, it's right on the highway, just as you drive out of Williams Bay. I don't know if it's still there. It probably is.
I don't know. I think Camp Eleanor was close to Williams Bay.
Yeah, but it was back in around the lake. This wasn't Camp. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Camp Eleanor, if I remember. If I remember names right.
You were there for. Well, you were a counselor there.
Yeah, this way. It's not that camp at all.
Yeah.
That's the only picture I found when I looked this morning. Mm-hmm. I should have a picture of the group when I had it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't find it. I couldn't.
But I
maybe the one in Fanny's scrapbook is what I should do, is bring up Fanny's scrapbook. And because it does have some girls' pictures in it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll bring that next time.
Okay. Okay. Now the story that's my favorite, when I was leading them, we tried to get some time in a camp out, you know, every
mm-hmm.
summer. And this one summer we weren't managing, we couldn't get any place, a lake or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided we'd just sleep at the cabin overnight. Well, this is the same time when somebody was breaking into the cabin. You know that story.
Remind me of it.
Okay. It really disturbed me, and I imagine it disturbed anybody else. Sure, it did disturb.
Well, now wait, is this the story that maybe you've told me before, where it was the brothers that were scaring you?
It didn't scare us. Well, yeah.
But were they breaking in?
No, someone was. They were
okay,
having...
well, let's hear the whole story then.
Okay.
Somebody was breaking into the cabin.
They were having beer parties.
Uh-huh.
This was the same time the girls wanted to go. That's why I mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
So we discussed it with the Beamans and my folks, and we decided that there was no reason why the girls couldn't spend a night there. Nobody was going to hurt us.
Uh-huh.
We decided that. And we went up, and when we got there, there were mice running around the cabin. We decided we didn't want to put our sleeping bags down with the mice.
Mm-hmm.
So we laid them outside, decided we'd like cows better than mice, and laid them out by the cabin. And then we went on with our usual activities, had a scavenger hunt or whatever. A good time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sat around the campfire and were telling ghost stories. Now this part I'm sure I've told you. And ended up with a little devotion. And the kids were just so quiet, and I had them all going back quietly to bed. Figured maybe I'd get them to sleep without any problems after this devotion, and nice night. And they did. They walked back there, and the beds were gone. The sleeping bags or blankets, but they just weren't there. And I was the only one in the group, I think, that knew that somebody had been up there. But we walked around, and they were just behind the cabin. They weren't far away.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to bed, and I said to them, it's one of your brothers that's done this. And, you know, I was trying to keep them quiet. And Halverson's lived a couple miles that way, and there was two brothers there that were full of everything, and they could have done it. And the Harts lived about a mile the other way, and there were two brothers there that would very well have done something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come to find out, it was Lester. He'd seen them going around with their flashlights for the scavenger hunt, and he thought maybe he better come and check and see if it was the beer drinking bunch. Yeah, if we were all right. So he
uh-huh.
came up and he said we were sitting around the campfire so quiet he just moved the sleeping bags.
Could I get her to move a car?
Sure.
Because Bob is going to bring.
You
want to
turn this off? You want to turn this off?
Yeah, I'll turn it off while I move the car.
If they come in the back door, we come in.
Do they come in this way?
No, they come in through the laundry, the garage, and the round.
Oh,
we put a walk, they'd come in that way, all right. But,
uh-huh.
but
we don't have to have the looks. We just have to get in the house.
Yeah. But it was all muddy. When we built the house, and it was mud that way, but the Bob and Anita's drive is over here, so
uh-huh.
they'd come down his drive and come in this way.
Hey,
do you have your own place in Florida?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
It hasn't rained for weeks, and
it's not muddy now. It's fine.
It never gets muddy there because it's...
Well, not anymore. It's got grass now.
Yeah, not now.
But when you first built it,
it was pretty muddy out there.
Where you grow your car, the grass is all dead now.
Well,
grass
doesn't die.
Well, it sure looks like it. It's all brown. Looks brown to me. Well, he said, I don't know why he is that hard, but he put special irons on to carry this dumb thing, and he never had it, you know, those are big square deals. I don't know what he's going to have it. But it was free because the fire department stored stuff in
there. Oh, that thing, yeah.
Yeah, 20 foot wide.
Yeah, I noticed it. I don't know what he's going to do with that.
Well, first he didn't know where to put it. And I said, if you clean all that crap out of the corner...
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to put it either.
He's got a whole lot of...
I'm saying here that I'm going to bring up the I'll bring up the scrapbook to show Helen all the pictures Fanny has of the girls' group, and I'll also bring up give her the Ralph Wallace letter that's there in the scrapbook.
Okay.
But Glenn?
He didn't have to go to service. He was a farmer.
Uh-huh.
He was just out of high school. But he wanted to be either in politics or a newspaper man.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew that for that kind of a life, he really needed the service background. So he went, and of course my father was most disgusted because he went.
Now wait, this is Glenn.
This is Ralph.
Oh, Ralph.
Yeah. So I read the letter, and I think he wanted to be a newspaper man. He probably could have done it.
Uh-huh. It's a remarkable letter.
Yeah. I think he would have succeeded probably.
And how much he got onto that little piece of paper, and he focused in on one thing, which of course was his life right then, which was being in the damn foxhole. And he related it to Turtle and to Roy and the whole thing. And it made me weep. So young, and
trained to be in intelligence. He had no training to be what he was doing.
Did they bring his body home? Did you have a funeral here?
No, it's buried in our lot in the cemetery here. It's not with the soldiers. Dad wanted it with his lot, so that's where it is.
Well, I was glad that they put it in the book, the picture and the letter.
Yeah.
And not just a copy of the letter. I mean, not just a transcription of the letter, but actually photograph the letter so that people can, you know, take a magnifying glass and read it if they want to. And I guess I was right, wasn't I? That it came.
Yeah, it came afterwards.
Right after you'd heard about his death, and I think Fanny just did not show it to me.
No, she did not.
Because it was not the timing, and then she never did it. Until I discovered it.
Yeah, that's the first we knew about it.
Yeah. So. Well, I remember seeing him around. I remember all of you around. I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And
you probably weren't too much younger than he was.
Not too much younger, no. I was born in 1928.
We'd have to subtract about 6 from 19. He would have been born in about 1925, 26.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would have, if he'd been in, he was in Clinton High?
No,
Lloyd High. Well, then he would have been in Patty or...
Probably. Could have been.
I know that I've been reading stuff, letters from back then that my mother saved, and talking about the boys all rushing through their senior year. Mm-hmm. So that they could enlist or be drafted or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so they were going to school from 7 in the morning till 7 at night that first semester of their senior year. And then they graduated in January and went off to war. Louis Dalvet and that whole bunch. Dale Churches and whatever. So,
anything else?
Do you remember, where did you go to grade school? Did you go to Zilly?
Morgan.
You went to Morgan. And where was that?
Morgan is right where the my grandpa's farm was down that lane. I'm getting off the set. The lane there where the intersection of I-90 and 43 is. There's a lane that runs down to a farmhouse, most of it's gone. And the other side of it where now is, pretty close to Pilot, which is where Morgan School was.
Mm-hmm. And the new Morgan School was sort of near there?
Yeah, the new Morgan School is just down the roadways.
Yeah, okay. Did Grandpa come around to your school like he did to Zilly and talk up 4-H or whatever it was he was talking up?
I remember him at 4-H, but I don't remember him coming to school. He probably did.
Somebody that went to Zilly told me that he would come and talk and try to inspire people to do these things.
One of the things in your book, when you and Craig come to the 4-H meeting,
right,
and your reaction, I'm on the other side of that. I see you as somebody completely different than we farm kids. You went to town to school.
Right.
Your dad didn't wear overalls. You just, I'm not sure you belong there, you know, and that's the impression you give. You're not sure that you, that we were accepting you. I'm not sure.
But
and your mother was great, you know.
Yeah, she was busy doing all sorts of things,
yeah,
and music and so forth. And,
yeah.
And Dad did get out into the field some, I mean, with the corn and
oh,
all
yeah,
that sort of thing.
Yeah, but we didn't understand management at all.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, we didn't feel like we belonged in town either.
Yeah, I can understand the problem.
Because the town kids didn't feel that we were town kids.
Yeah.
And the country kids didn't feel that we were country kids. And so we were just sort of lost there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
eventually we would have accepted you if you'd kept coming.
I'm sure, yeah. And of course Billy Umland was sort of the exception. He went to town school too, but he was very much part of Turtle.
Yeah, they were Grangers.
Of course Grandpa and Grandma were Grangers too, but folks weren't.
And they weren't working Grangers.
No.
Like the Umlands were.
Uh-huh.
They didn't come to meetings and meet us, and the kids didn't play with us. You know, Billy played with us there.
Yeah, yeah. I know that Grandpa had something to do with getting the Grange started.
Is that Bob?
I've got some data on that somewhere.
Well, that's interesting.
And, but I'd have to find it and verify it before I wrote anything about it. Because I knew he had something to do with the early Grange,
yeah.
But and didn't he and Grandma go to Grange meetings some?
Some, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I know Grandpa didn't go to some things often because of his hearing.
Yeah.
And he had to have somebody come and write for him, or so forth.
But. He did a lot for the 4-H. He was
oh, yeah,
a director for a while. He
oh, yeah.
Did a lot.
He was on the board, and
mm-hmm,
Ron
mm-hmm,
was on the board, too.
But that would have been county.
For the county, yeah.
Yeah.
And so
that
I
didn't,
think...
That didn't filter down to we little kids.
Yeah. But I think it was quite understandable why 4-H was such a fiasco for Craig and me.
Yeah.
Because
yes,
each side thought the other side was taking care of us.
Did you ever take 4-H? Did you ever carry a project through?
Well, we carried our calf project through.
You did, okay.
And finished it.
Good.
But
and
I,
you showed them at the fair?
Yeah, that was my big fiasco. I didn't know that, you know, I hadn't been trained, didn't know I was going to have to walk my calf and all that sort of thing.
I wonder who your calf club leader was that didn't do you right.
Well, I think the calf leader must have figured that Grandpa and Dad knew all about it and were being our leaders.
That's possible.
And Grandpa and Dad figured that the calf leader would do it. And so nobody did it. And
that's
all of a sudden...
That's too bad.
Yeah. All of a sudden, here came the fair. And we'd been up at Pleasant Lake.
Okay.
And Dad came and got us and said, I got to take you home to go to the fair and you got to walk your calf. Well, my calf wouldn't walk.
Yeah, I
Craig's
could see
calf
that.
Walked very beautifully.
That's
no
strange.
Problem with
That's
Craig's
strange.
Calf.
Because it was a big job.
But my calf wasn't used to being led around and so forth. And then when we had to fill out those books,
yeah.
Gosh, I mean, it was sort of traumatic for us.
Yeah.
Sort of traumatic for us.
Too bad.
So it was too bad. So that was our chance to get in with the country kids.
Yeah.
And so we didn't.
Since we don't know who the 4-H leader was, we can lay the blame on him.
Yeah, yeah. And I have not found
my dad. I don't think he ever was.
I've not found my little 4-H book, and I think what I did was turned it in.
Yeah.
So maybe I didn't get it back, the one where you wrote your story all that sort of thing. Maybe
you might have had to go to a meeting to get it back. That's true.
Oh, I maybe had.
Yeah.
But I do remember that meeting where Mr. Beadle led the discussion on Robert's Rules of Order. And
that was good.
Well, I think they cut that short in my book. The story was a little longer. I mean, he had a debate between the girls and the boys and their haircuts and things like that.
Be the kind of thing he would do to make it interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And so I think we did go to the meetings fairly regularly, but I don't know why we didn't seem to make friends.
No, we didn't.
You got some more there, too?
Yeah. Eventually, the boys and girls group was... Fred had the boys group when I took the Freddie Beeman. Fritz had the boys group, and I had the girls group for a while. Mm-hmm. And eventually, we combined them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a fun thing to do. What we did as a Y group, we'd meet at each other's homes and have our little lesson, have something to eat and play games.
Mm-hmm.
And when we combined them, we had a really good softball team. We'd go around playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, just the boys played, I think both, I think it was a mixed team.
Mm-hmm.
But it might have been just the boys. I don't think we had enough boys. And I remember that little Phyllis Gunderson, who was about the littlest one in the group, was a great ball player. So I think it was a mixed group, but I don't
mm-hmm.
know. Some of them probably would remember, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
We also, and when Fanny had just the girls too, we gave a play and got worked up a play and gave it around. And the girls group that I had did singing. Now I can't carry a tune, but one of the mothers, Izzy Halverson, was really musical, you know, the kind of music you play for dances.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids liked to sing, and she helped them sing, and we'd go around and had this little chorus. I think we did that when we had the boys, too. It was a mixed chorus. And, but Izzy was good help.
Well, I remember that Fritzy was in the fife and drum corps. And was that all boys?
Yeah. I think so. I could come up with a picture of that. Are you interested in that at all?
Sure. I think there's a picture of that in the scrapbook too. And
yeah,
I have
that
hopes
there is because Fritz was in it.
Yeah, I have hopes that there's going to be something in the stuff that I trust Dick Post is going to find. He at least doesn't think he threw it out.
I hope not.
So it's got to be in bags somewhere.
What? What a lot of that was, like most histories, is histories of the family.
Yeah, and people turned it in and
sure,
then never got
and
it
that's
back.
Pretty well.
So if we can get a hold of it, we can look it over and then get it back to the families, or somebody could go ahead and write the history.
I think when we tried to get it, we were going to do it as a Grange project,
uh-huh.
and that would be mostly Gene Davis and myself.
Uh-huh.
Irene at one time, but Irene Summers isn't able anymore. Well, I think we could still do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I think we would still be sensible enough to go and get help.
Mm-hmm. Well, I told him I was going to bug him.
I hope you do.
I said, I'll come and...
And you'll be more apt to. He doesn't like the wilderness. There's a reason for it. And I don't think he likes Grange, and I don't know what the reason is. I know why he doesn't like the wilderness. So I never tried to get it, but Gene tried to get it. But I think he didn't want to give it to the Grange.
Hasn't he been a turtle official?
Yeah.
Well,
and that's probably why. The Grange was kind of powerful, you know, and they sometimes didn't see eye to eye with turtles.
Well, I know that Hap Hornbostel was not happy with him because of the whole clock business over there at Chopier. Nobody knew whatever happened to the innards of that clock, and he was sure that Dick Post knew. Because Hap is a clock fixer and repairer forth.
Yeah.
Let's see, something you said triggered something in me. What was it just then? I guess going and getting the stuff from Dick Post. He did indicate he had it.
Yeah. Well, he told us he was going to do it himself when he retired.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he wants to, I don't know. But I thought he just
didn't say that to me.
I think he just doesn't like us.
I think maybe he figures that, oh, that's right, we got on to that. Well, but I'm a sort of neutral person in this. And,
And if he's liked your book, and he probably has.
He has, and he's liking the new one.
Yeah.
And and furthermore, Elaine gave me a Fanny scrapbook. And I said I'd bring it back, and then I never did before she died.
Okay.
But it's a very useful scrapbook, it's been. So we'll get that.
Good.
And I told him, I said, I'm going to keep after you on this. All right, I'm going to get my boys. And he says,
well, maybe his wife would help you now.
She might. She liked the books. And I told him I was going to be up again on the 27th, the weekend of the 27th.
Yeah,
and I said, I'll come and see you then. And I said, I'll keep after you.
Pat Susie was the one that would have helped us with it. And she's done that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got the name right. Okay,
yeah.
My other stories, that's why I've got notes. I told you that people were breaking into the... Into the cabin.
Uh-huh.
And you know that our farm was situated so we could look over across the hill farm and see the cabin.
Right.
So... you know, that cabin was kind of special to us. It was where we met for good fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like these beer parties there, naturally. Your grandpa wouldn't have either. And one day, during the day, John Holmes ran a milk route for us, and we saw a car up there at the cabin. This was when the break-ins were kept, so John was going to catch him. And I don't know, maybe it was Lester that went with him, maybe Bill Punsell who also worked for us. So they took a car up and put it in front of the drive into the cabin. They took another car and went on and kind of were watching from the side so they weren't going to be hurt at all. And Mother called the sheriff's department to get the sheriff's department to come and back them up. So they were going to catch these fellows.
Mm-hmm.
And when she called the sheriff's department, they just kind of laughed at her and said, that's the sheriff and they're checking out the place.
Yeah, they kept the cabin there for quite a while.
Oh yeah, even
after it was sold and the houses and all, and then they tore it down.
Okay, I've got to go back in and see what's there someday, and I haven't done that.
Yeah, there's no cabin. I've been back in there, but not for a long time.
They eventually got the kids that were doing this. It was just kids.
Uh-huh.
And they found them because they kept a list of how many beers they all drank. And that was their names. And that's all they needed. I don't know if they were first names or last names, because it never saw it, but it was enough so they could catch them.
Mm-hmm. At this point, I can't remember who gave me some of those details, like the thistles that came up through the floor and things like that. It might have been Howard Milner, but I think I think it came to me as a surprise that Howard Milner was in on that one.
Oh yeah, he was one of the group.
Yeah, and
yes.
When I look at the pictures and see Ken Little and so forth, and
yeah,
quite a few of these people that worked on the farm that I knew as farm workers.
Yeah. There was a young adult group. It was kind of the boys and the girls,
uh-huh,
as they got older,
yeah,
formed this young adult group.
Mm-hmm.
We met for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A reaction I had to something you said in the book. You gave as a reason for things like the Y no longer functioning, the war,
mm-hmm,
and women going to work. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But I have to give you my reason. The reason that we don't have these kind of organizations out in the country anymore is consolidation. That's one of the reasons. Because the kids are going to school.
They all go to school in town.
And they have, mm-hmm, their activities there. There is not the same need as there was at one time.
Uh-huh. Well, I can modify that, too, in the other book.
And, of course, TV has changed the world. Lots of things have changed this way.
Yeah, you stay home and look at your entertainment. And it's too bad. It's too bad.
Well, it has its good sides, too.
Well, yeah, I'll grant you that, too. But it's just like the computer. It's a marvelous thing, and I hate it.
I
use it all the time.
I am illiterate, and it's too bad. Good thing I'm old, so it won't matter.
I find email is a real problem. I mean, it's wonderful because you can hear hear from people immediately, but they also expect immediate answers. And
Here was Cressida over in Paris, lonesome when she first got there for her year abroad, and she was emailing every day, and so that was good. But you know, if there'd been that sort of thing when Mother and Dad were over there, they never would have got married. Grandpa and Grandma would have immediately put the clamp on it, because they would have known what was going on, whereas there was too much of a lag in the mailing.
Yeah.
For them, the drama would have moved several weeks ahead by the time they had any say in it. So, that was good.
Well, or bad. The fire department, are you interested in that?
Yes, because the fire department was on our farm for quite a while, and then they moved it to the Grange, and...
No, they moved it, the town took over. The Grange never had anything to do with it.
Well, they took it over and moved it next door to the Grange.
Next door to the Grange.
Right, okay.
I think I gave you the names of the original Phil Holmes, my brother Lester, Don Lang, and the one I didn't give you is Dave Collins, who would have been in on the legal part of it.
Oh,
so if you do anything
organizing
with
if you do anything
with the fire department, check with Dave Collins.
That would be a good thing to do. Because how it happened to end up on the farm, and they built...
Well, it ended up on the farm because at the time the township organized it, Roy Veman...
Credit for having the fire trucks in the center of it there on the farm, and because he saw that the end of the garage, and then even built onto the garage to make more room for the fire trucks.
And it worked well, because there was always someone right there who was probably a fireman who would respond, and there was immediate response, and they meet it in the volunteer fire department when it was there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, as it got a bigger thing, it had to come over and belong to the township.
And now it's over at Chopier.
Yeah, it's moved again.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how fast the response is. Is it volunteer anymore now, or?
It's volunteer, and. Yeah, the response is going to have a problem because they've got that highway to cross. To get on this side, they've got to cross the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Which ordinary.
Which if it had stayed there alongside the Grange.
Well, it needed to be both places. That was nice when it was both places.
Uh-huh. Well, they had trucks over in Chopier and trucks
eventually.
In...
First they were just in Turtle, but
then...
But
then when the highway went through, they...
And it's not just the highway, but all... Turtle owns a lot of the developing Beloit area. They needed to be closer to that area.
Uh-huh. There ought to be some fire stories that people have.
Phil has some, but he says his are pre-fire department, Phil's stories.
Well, I should get Phil's pre-fire department stories then,
too. Yeah, he'd be glad to tell them.
What I need for the book, of course, I mean, if I were writing the Turtle history, which you guys are going to do, you can put those in.
But well, you can write the Turtle history. You got it. You get it. You write it.
Well, I'd certainly like to be part of the committee.
Yeah.
It's taking me so long to write this book. I don't think I can do the Turtle one either. I mean, both. But I could certainly put in my 2 cents and help with the editing or something. But of course, Irv Fonda was one of the firemen, and I've gotten his. Irv Fonda, lived there, right?
He may even have been charter one.
He might well have been.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd have to go over his tape again and tell me if he told any fire stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that my dad got hell for chasing a fire truck through the road there. By free tags that went over to Leeson's Park.
Oh, yeah.
Firemen, nobody but the firemen were supposed to do that. My dad wasn't supposed to be doing that to see what was going on.
I've done it often enough to knew I wasn't supposed to. I don't know about this story. You'll probably be interested in it, but I don't know if it's book material. One of the firemen was Hamill, and he was down in Florida, Dick Hamill. We became very good friends with him, and he tells the story that they'd had a fire, and they came back, and they were cleaning up and drinking beer and so forth,
and Roy Beeman came along and really got after them for the beer. He said, don't, I don't know what it was, because I was just Dick's story, and I didn't question him because I was with Roy, you know. And Dick was so upset because Roy didn't want them to have that beer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about that story. But mm-hmm.
He was one of the volunteer firemen.
He was one of the volunteer firemen. Uh-huh. And I know it's a big party thing to be a volunteer fireman now, although that too is going down, Anita says. They're having trouble keeping enough
people to be volunteer firemen?
No. Mm-hmm.
Aren't they the ones that have the big sausage pancake breakfast and so forth?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to a shivery?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about a shivery.
Okay, whose shivery can I think of that I went to?
I know at one they put a wagon on top of the...
Yeah. I can't remember anything like that. I can't remember a lot about them. I know it just made noise, and then the people that we were shivering had to...
And one, did they let birds loose in the house?
You know, I don't remember any stories. I don't have any good stories about shiveries. No. Just lots of noise, and the people you were shivering had to feed you then.
Uh-huh.
I know I was probably at Glenn and Elner's and Byron and Wyona's. I must have been at a Gunderson's too, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had no stories.
No stories on that, okay. Any other stories you can think of?
I've gone over what I jotted now.
Well, what I'll do is bring that stuff up and let you know my success with Dick Post in 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I'll bring you the scrapbook. Okay. I've gone over that scrapbook pretty carefully, and you might want to go over it and look at it yourself, too.
Phil brought what he had, and I couldn't tell him what to do with it. I turned it back to him. He had quite a bit of stuff on turtle history, some of it. I think he had what Beeman's once had.
Well, then we should get a hold of that and hang on to it, too, then. And
I don't know what, I think maybe he gave it back to Freddie. I don't know what he did. But maybe he just threw it away.
I don't think he'd throw it away.
Okay, the other thing I had in my notes, and since you've been talking with Phil, I don't need to mention this, is his story about getting to the dairy when it was snowing.
I've got that in great detail.
Yeah.
And I've got that already written up. It's in the big book. I've got a whole chapter called Snow.
Yeah, that's a good story.
And most of it comes from Phil. And mm-hmm. what an awful time it was to get it through. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Grandpa wrote an article about it. But I don't think it was ever in the Daily News. I don't know if it didn't get sent or if the Daily News didn't print it or something. I just found it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got it in that story. We called it Some Heroes of Peacetime.
Okay,
and,
good.
So I've got that snow story. I should bring you the snow story, too.
The snow one. I'll get it in your book.
Well,
I've got Phil's that he wrote for the paper.
Yeah,
I've got... But I think it's in Florida. I don't have it here.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we had a dairy that was farther from town than you were.
What did you call your dairy?
It was Highland when Peck owned it. When we bought it, when John Holmes bought it from us, it became Homestead.
That's right, Homestead. I've been getting letters from the people that lived on our farm, on Chenew, before Peter Snide, it was the Snide farm, and I've got a story about her grandfather, probably, who was the road commissioner. Is her name Loris or something like that? Lois? No. Anyway, she wrote me, and we've written back and forth, because she was living there just shortly before we did. Actually, I think the Dummers came in between, because I think when we were looking at the house, the Dummers were in it. Mm-hmm. So, and
and she said her mother had planted bushes and things like that, and I said they weren't too much in evidence by the time we got there.
I remember the name, but I don't remember anything about them.
Yeah, about the Dummers?
Yeah.
The wife was a huge fat woman.
Yeah.
And John Dummer was, and Junior Dummer was a very, I don't know as I would say he was dumb.
When you say that, I kind of remember that too.
Yeah, but Ruthie Dummer was in my class. And I think she married Arnold somebody and lives in South Beloit. And we all rode in a cab together. Mm-hmm. And the cab driver, George, forget his last name now too, but he just teased and ribbed Wilbur Dummer, something awful. And it was cruel, you know?
Yeah, too bad.
And yet, as a child, I did not call adults on their cruelty. I look back on it now and I think, why didn't I? And then I also see how I was thoughtless and cruel as a child myself.
Yeah.
And regret those.
You couldn't have. You could have told your mother or your dad and let them.
I know, and sometimes you don't even think to do that.
No, no.
You know.
No, it's kind of telling tales, isn't it? So you don't do that.
Well, I just never put two and two together. I mean, I knew I didn't. I was uncomfortable the way he treated Wilbur Dummer, but I guess it never even occurred to me to tell anybody about it or say, can you put a stop to it?
Yeah.
Just like the horrible way that Mr. Conroy in junior high school treated Rex Johnson. And I've talked to Vaughn about it. And someday, if I ever see Rex, I might say, Rex, I am sorry. I am sorry that I did not stand up in that class and yell at Mr. Conroy. But what do, you know?
Yeah, as a student, you can't do anything.
In your ninth grade, I knew that Rex was having a terrible time and that Mr. Conroy was making sport of him. And it was bad. And I'm sure that sort of torment did not help Rex's life any. And so I felt bad about that. I've written one story called Sins of Omission, and I've left out my omission sins with people. I've talked about three different ones with animals where I should have done something about it and I didn't. Mm-hmm. And or I should have, and it wasn't, and I maybe should change the title of it to Sins of Ignorance, maybe. Not so much impotence, because it wasn't that I couldn't have had the power to go and do something. And some you just don't realize, you know? I should bring you that story too. Those are the two I wrote this summer, Clinton Corners and The Sins of Omission. Those were hard ones to write, and I'd begun them a long time ago.
Clinton Corners, that has it's a problem because it's the watershed from Clinton. And the school is located on what used to be a lake bed and gets watershed, and it's that, and the new high school is causing more water to run off. And it's a problem. I don't know how you solve.
But Clinton Corners, in my story, I said there wasn't any town there. It was just a crossing.
Well, there was the house is now gone. That was a stagecoach stop or something. I think that is in the Clinton book. Let me do it and see.
I know there was one up on Turtle Creek.
It had to be moved into Clinton where the railroad came.
But when I was there skating, that doesn't seem to me there was any... We're talking about pageants at the fair. What was the name of the woman that directed it?
I don't remember.
Because Grandpa could have written it.
Yeah,
and I think I found the script of it.
Okay.
But I have to go through my things now and find the script. And
you want me to give a call to Irene Summers and see if she remembers. She's a little older than I am, and I think she's still sharper than I am, although she's not physically able.
I'd like that a lot, yeah.
I'll call her right now and see if she remembers any pageant written by her grandpa.
And I will look on my computer when I get home and find what I've got.